Would you give Pastor Christie a great big hand? Hallelujah.
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 Yes, glory.
What a mighty God we serve. Amen?
Yes.
Amen? I tell you, there's a lot of prayer going on in this place, you know?
Yes.
We got to pray for Kathy. Because you know what? I heard her whisper to her pastor. She says, "Pastor, I got these prayer cloths. Which one you want to send to which?" Hallelujah. We give God the glory. Amen?
Yes.
You can tell when you're having a good time in the Lord. Amen?
Right.
That's how it is. It should be like that. It should be a real good time. Good time. Good spirit. And you know Jesus is still on the throne. Amen? So anything is possible. Just because we believe. If you don't believe, that's when you have the torment and the fear. And you just can't figure it out. But once you believe, you transfer that from yourself. You kind of drop it on Him. And let Him worry it. Let Him work it out for you. Let Him just work it out for you.
Yes.
You know He's able to do that for us, you know?
Yes.
And then give us the answer and everything.
Yes.
Kind of release us and give us a shout and a dance and a peace of mind. See, guys, that's what we've been trying to do all week here, trying to get to a place where we can shout and dance and have a peace of mind. So He's been teaching us the way by His Spirit, the way He's been teaching us, bringing us this way. And how many of us have been having a good time so far? Yeah. And that liberty, that's where we call to. That liberty and that peace, that complete obedience to whatever it is, must come in line to the Word of God. That's exactly where what that's all about. So these things, we need to keep our eyes open towards them. These things, like that prayer line that was up here and the prayer cloth that's going out. You know, these are the things we're called to do. These are our challenges. This is what we live for.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. That these difficult things that people don't know where to go, but when they call upon you, it's like an honor, heaven. Have them call you.
Yes.
Immokalee. Have them call you for that prayer.
Yes.
That God will have access to their lives and begin to change it. Begin to break yokes, set them free, bring people in their paths, change atmospheres for them, and bring them to a place and say, "I know somebody is praying for me. I know God has done this for me. I know this was not ordinary. This was supernatural."
Yes.
And that's where we live, church, in that realm.
Yes.
That's why God's been trying to get us to talk different. To think different, to walk different, to act different. Because that's what He expects of us. That's exactly what He yearns for. I mean, it makes Him happy to have a language that we all speak the same language. Heaven, Jesus, our big brother, spoke that language without any doubt. And the moment we begin to speak that, He says, "Hallelujah, that one is a son, that's a daughter." Because listen to how they talk. They talk just like me. They think just like me. They behave just like me. And this is where we have to go to the church. We have to live there. Not visit, but live there. Because there's a lot more than what we're looking at. There's not more than what we're seeing. I know we're talking about revival and all of this, but I want to tell you, revival is here. It's here. That's what you're breathing. That's what you're living. That's it.
Yes.
I know. I know when he brings His chair and He sits it here. When the throne comes, when Jesus brings that chair and sits it right here. My God, can you imagine? I said when He brings His throne and sits it right here. But revival's already started. He just got to bring His chair and sit it right here. And then you understand. He'll bring it and sit it right there.
Yeah.
Say, "I'm going to sit here. I don't care when they come in the morning, in the night, in the evening, in the afternoon. I don't care how many times. It's just going to sit right here. My throne is going
to
sit right here."
Glory to God.
And you begin to see some stuff. He said, "Greater than these." Jesus said, "Greater than these that I've been doing, you will do. I want to believe he meant it. And he was talking to us. That means he meant for us to do greater than what he's done. So we have to begin looking at it and looking at what he's doing, what he's done, and begin taking it apart, making it our thing, making it what we do so that we can do greater. Because you know what the greatest desire of a teacher is? That his students come and go right past him and do greater works than him. And he said, that was my student over there. That's the greatest reward they can have. So tonight we want to take it a step further. Hallelujah. Amen? I'm going to take it just a little step further. Because I tell you right now, you guys are charged with something that you're just going to have a good time with it. I got a tape today. I got a DVD, a CD today that says my name. It says Christy Christ. Hallelujah. I'm excited. That woman got it. She's really teaching. She's really moving. Let's turn our Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 for a minute. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'll start reading at the first verse. So do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we as some others epistle? Or some others? Epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistles written in our hearts. You are our epistles written in our... Everyone in this chair is our epistle written in our hearts. Known and read of all men. What are they reading? What are the men reading when they look at you? What are they saying when they look at you? What are they reading when you're speaking? Not the words that come out of your mouth, but your true conversation is your lifestyle. Are you with me, church? Now, this is not a condemnation message. I'm speaking things into being. Amen? That's what I'm doing. I'm speaking things into being. And what I'm saying is, you are our epistle. You are the book. You are our gospel. You are what we rate. You are what we do. You are why we live and breathe. We speak this into your life. You receive it. You turn around and you behave according to what you've received. What are men reading? What are they reading? Are they reading that they can come to you for the answer? Is your tree grown up and there's fruit on it? They can run and pick that fruit and eat it during the season that they need it? Hallelujah. And this is where we are. We are at that place where there must be fruit. There must be fruit on every tree. Because the tree doesn't eat its own fruit, but the others come and pick that tree, the fruit of that tree. So that's what it is. What are men reading? What is your conversations? What is your you know, people can say one thing and do another thing, right? But what to do is the true conversation in life. And this is what he's trying to bring us to. He says, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the flesh of your heart. That's what we're speaking to, the flesh of your heart. That you will receive it. That's the real you, your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart does the man speak. So it's the heart that we're depositing things. We're depositing things. We're depositing life. We're speaking life as spirit. We're depositing all into the heart of you. What will they read out of your heart? What are they reading? Revival. What are they reading? Healing. What are they reading? Deliverance. What are they reading? Miracles. What are they reading? Wisdom. What are they reading? Knowledge. What are they reading? Peace. What are they reading? Joy. What are they reading out of your heart? Hallelujah. You are our epistle.
Glory to God.
Come on now. I know one thing. Adam and Steve, they're not going to be married in this church. Isn't that so? So you see what is in your heart? You understand what I mean? Even Eva can't make it here. Are you with me tonight? So what's in your heart is, come on, you know what I'm talking about. Because that's what we've been depositing in your heart. That's what we've been depositing. So those things are not going to happen. It can't live next to you. You wouldn't allow it. Because what? That's what's in your heart. Now, what else has been put in your heart? That's what should be coming out, church. Hallelujah. Are you with me? And Christ is making some major deposits. Supernatural things. Turn him loose, church. Let him come out. That's what he wants to do. He wants to come out. He wants to come out. And he, guess what? He's about to turn, come out. He's coming out. There's no way you're going to stop him. There's no way you're going to stop him. He is changing everything. I say he's changing everything. Why? I know what he's done with us. I know what he's done with us. He is changing everything. Detail thing. The way you walk in your service. The way you talk. The way you act. The way you believe. The way you meet people. The way you approach them. He is changing everything. That's why we're singing that song the other day. God is doing something new. God is doing something new. Oh, my God is doing something new. God is doing something new. That's why we've been singing that song. Because he's doing it everywhere we turn. Something supernatural is happening. Something creative is happening. Something is different and is here. When I got here at first, I told you it was something that I heard in the spirit and it was here. It's not only on the pastor. It's on all of you. That's a change. That's a big change. It just didn't happen now. It happened from the time you got born again. From that time you said, I receive you, Jesus. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I receive you as my King. I receive you as my healer. I receive you as my miracle worker. I receive you as my Prince of Peace. I receive you as my provider. Whatever you want from Jesus, you receive him. He has been bringing that change on the inside of you. He hasn't stopped. You may think nothing was happening, but something was happening every day in your life. It has been a constant change because of the nature that's on the inside of you. He has been turning that, removing the old, and bringing in something new.
Hallelujah.
That's what he's been doing. Man, a couple of years ago, I had a vision. I was in some kind of, it looked like I was in an elevator coming down. And two distinguished gentlemen was in that place with me, dressed real serious, but serious guys like bodyguards. Dressed real well. And I'm standing there and the elevator door open and I step out and it's a hospital. And I'm walking and one is walking in front of me and walking back of me. The other one turned around and said, we came to help you bury the old man. So I said, oh, okay, going to funeral. I looked and I said, but my boots, they got mud on it and because my jeans, they all got the dirt. Because like I've been in the trenches or something. I said, but I got to change my shoes. And this guy just looked at me like that. I said, okay, let's go. You know what? It took me a while to understand. The old man that we're talking about was my old man. I mean, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are. That's the man that we're trying to bury. And I was thinking we're going to a funeral. It took me a while to catch it. Are you with me, church? Because these guys just look at me as if they say, what are you talking about? We're here to help you bury the old man.
Hallelujah.
Because that new man is what the only one that he can use.
Yeah.
The new man is the only one who has the qualification to be used.
Yeah.
The other man is a terrible man.
Kill him.
Kill him. Kill him. That's right. That guy needs to be buried. Hallelujah. Kill him. I like it. But the Spirit of God has been doing it. Little at a time. Here a little, there a little. Here a little, there a little. And I want to tell you something. It's something that I want to be a part of. I mean, it's something I want to be a part of. Are you with me? Not when one guy will come to church with crutches, but what about 50 come with crutches? Huh? And you got about 40 wheelchairs. Are you with me, church? Or 50 or wheelchair section. A whole section of wheelchairs. You got a whole section and they're coming in and you they got and they don't have some things with them. That new man, that new nature understands that man, understands that place. The old guy looks and he doesn't understand. Are you with me? I want to participate in that, church.
Thank you, Jesus.
You got to participate in it. If not, you follow the world. The other man. So you are our epistle. What do you think we've been telling you? What do you think we've been saying? Huh? We've been saying it over and over and over and again. We've been telling you now. And God wants to bring us out of the walls of religion. Bring us to a hall where there's no walls, but it's just liberty. It's just freedom. Freedom in the Spirit of God, the Spirit of things. Amen? So when the man say, oh, this, he say, oh, I know a guy who can do that for you. His name is Jesus. And he's working in me. Why don't you come down here? Oh, come on now.
Glory.
I like Pastor Dave. He says, meet me on the green line. Huh? Come down. Put your toes on the green line. He knows what? He knows Christ is working in him. And I want to tell you, this is what we have to tell you. Because you're the epistle. Christ is working in you. Strong. Mighty. Awesome. Now the time has come, church, for him to come outside. I was talking with an intercessor. Her name is Candice. In Wyoming. I was talking to her one day on the phone. And I was just talking. She says, wait. And I was talking. She says, wait. Hold on. She says, I call you. And you call me back. But when you're talking to me, I'm seeing this thing. I said, what are you saying? She says, I like to sew. She says, but I see. This is about you. I want you to listen to this. This is about you. She said, it's like a seamstress is sewing something. They're sewing this thing. They're sewing this thing. And eventually, it's like some kind of a garment. But it's being sewn on the wrong side. And they're sewing it, and they're sewing it, and all of a sudden I see it's all completed, and I just see the hand going in there and pulling it out. And when they pull it out to the right side, you see the beauty of the garment. Are you with me? She said, this has to do with you. I said, I understand exactly what it is. We are the handiwork of the Lord. Are you with me? And God has been working on us. On the inside of us. But, are you listening to me? He's been working with us on the inside of us. And he's been showing something. That thread, that needle, that bloodline, that teaching, that trying, the test things that you've been going to. Every test gives you a testimony when you stay with him. Are you with me, church? And he's been sowing something. The Holy Ghost has been working something on the inside of you. He's been making you into something, into an image. And the time has come in your life that he's about to pull his hand in and pull the inside out so the world can see what's on the inside of you. It's your time. It's what's happening now, I'm telling you. I know you're hearing it now. You're gonna wake up and say, yes, but this is it now. He is pulling in on the inside and pulling out the miraculous, pulling out the supernatural, pulling out the creative. You will see blind eyes open. You will see deaf ears open. You will see dumb speak. You will see lame walk. You will see the maimed be made whole. You will see those demonic forces. You will tell them, get back behind that line and don't come back on the side. Because that's what's deposited on the inside of you. That is what is deposited. Nothing else is deposited. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. It was never told you to be fearful. We don't sympathize with people who are fearful. We don't sympathize with you when you're fearful. Because that's not from God. Jesus never sympathized with anybody in the first place. God is pulling this thing out of you now. You have no option. You have no choice. You have no option. Huh?
Amen.
Did you hear that testimony the pastor read? The guy wrote it. And he said, excuse me, P.S. She's home. He says, it took me a little while to write this letter, but forget it. This woman is home. Are you listening, church? Are you listening? Do you know you're being taught? That is the epistle that has been deposited on the inside of you. This is what I'm trying to tell you. The girl gave a testimony yesterday. She says, the baby says, Mama, the one who couldn't talk. Are you with me? This is what I'm talking about. Same thing happened to me in Costa Rica a couple of years ago. Maybe 2 years, maybe a year and a half. I don't remember. Costa Rica, we had prayer, such an awesome meeting in this place, in this amphitheater, whatever it is. And I came down and the people there and the woman just gave me her baby. So I took the baby and I just blessed the baby because I don't know why she gave me the baby to speak Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. So she just gave me the baby and I blessed the baby and I blessed the baby. Started to scream and cry. So I said, okay. I gave the baby back to mama. And all the women ran around mama. And they're just making all this noise. And I don't know what's going on. And the guy come and tell me, he says, you know what happened to that baby? That baby was deaf and dumb. Now the baby is crying and the baby can hear. The baby is making noise. I didn't do anything. But Jesus touched the baby.
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. This is the gospel. Sometimes you don't even know what he's doing in the meeting. Just believe. She never told me the baby was deaf and dumb. I didn't care. I just blessed the baby. Are you understanding when he says, you are our epistle? I want to know what are the men and the women reading out of you. He wants to. The season has come for him to help you bury the old man. He wants to pull it out. You see, when your real side has not been shown yet. You know, back home in Africa, when we wash the clothes, I got a sister who just loved to wash. She washed all the time. Man, on Saturdays was washing day. So we had the washboard. You guys know what a washboard is? Hallelujah. Had a washboard. So the washboard go into the first wash, and then the second wash, no wash, but then the first rinse and the second rinse, and then if there's whites, they got a blue rinse. So she would wash her clothes like that. But you wash the clothes on the wrong side. And then you wash them on the right side and on the wrong side. And when you're hanging them up, you hang them up on the wrong side. So that the sun would beat them and wouldn't fake them. And then they would get dry. And then when you want to iron them, you don't iron them on the wrong side. You iron them on the right side. Amen? But when they're hanging up on the wrong side, they don't look very pretty. They don't look real nice. But when you begin to iron that shirt and pull it out, the inside of that clothing, you see the beauty of the cloth. You see, so when God has been working on the inside of you, you couldn't see the beauty of what God has been doing. But he's about to pull it out now, and you will begin to see the beautiful work that he's been doing. You begin to see what God has been doing in you, and you thought you were nothing. But the beauty of what you are is being exposed right now. And get ready for that season that God is bringing onto you. I can't explain it to this much more than you, but it's time, church.
Hallelujah.
It's time. The glory of God. Christ in you, the hope of God getting any glory out of you, and he will get his glory out of you because you give yourself to him.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
You give yourself to him.
Yes.
You give yourself to him. Now let's take a little look here. Matthew chapter 17 for a minute. In Matthew 17, we drop into the second verse. Right there, the Bible says, in fact, I'll read the first and second. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and his brother, and John his brother, and bringing them into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured. I want you to say transfigured.
Transfigured.
Before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as light. Something on the inside of Christ caused this transfiguration. He was changed into somebody else. He was a natural man. All of a sudden, he was transfigured into a spirit man. Are you with me? He was a natural man that was standing there, and you could see him, but all of a sudden, I know the Bible says his face, but where the man was his countenance. The whole countenance just began to shine and to glow. All of a sudden, that spirit man that was on the inside, just like your spirit man that's on the inside, all of a sudden, they begin to see his spirit man on the outside. That born again man, that new nature. And that's what God is trying to pull out of his church. That new nature, that new spirit man, that glory, that light, that power. That's what God is after, church. That's what he's after. Where absolutely nothing shall be impossible. Even the natural eyes will see you. They will see the glow around your life. This is what we preach. This is what we impart. Because this is what he has imparted to us. That's why he took Peter, James, and John there. He imparted it to them. That's for special people who want to go somewhere special. In a high mountain, who want to go somewhere different. Who are different. And that's you. You're not the religious bunch. That's why you don't overflow. Are you with me? Because those who want to overflow, they want something different. But when the true overflow comes, you will be the ones lay hands on them. Are you with me, church? You will be the one shining. You will be the one with the glory. Most of them can't take the righteous spirit. Can we be real? Let me tell you something. You can fill this house. And when you say, okay, next month, we're going to do a 21. Going to do a 21 days. You begin to see dust. They won't want to do it. But there will be some who will do it. Are you with me? Because they're the ones that call to that place. And I know you here, you call to that place. That's why I said God wants to put his hand in. That's what that lady was trying to explain to me. When she said, I see, I'm talking to you, but this is what I see. This is for you. She says, he wants to pull that inside, that glory, that inside of you. He wants to pull it out. I'm speaking it to you because now you're accountable for it. You heard it. It's part of your epistle. You're part of it. Are you with me?
Hallelujah.
And this is not the first time. You know, this happened in the Old Testament too. With Moses. Remember he went up there in the mountain? And he came down. He had to talk to the elders. The Bible says he couldn't talk to them. He had to put a veil on his face. Oh, come on, church. Let's go there. Let's go to Exodus for a minute. Exodus chapter 34. Let's go to verse 31. The Bible says, and Moses called them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him. And Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh. And he gave them commandments, all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off. Isn't that what the Bible says in yours? So he took the veil off. Until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he had commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. That glory, Moses couldn't contain it in his spirit. Are you with me, church?
Yes.
But you can contain it in your spirit. Come on, church. You can contain it in your spirit. You can carry it. Amen?
Yes.
I say, you can contain it. You can carry it. And it can come out when Christ wants to pull on it.
Yes.
And right now, he wants to pull on it. He wants to pull on it, church. You see, in the New Testament, he talks about that in 2 Corinthians. Let's take a look at it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 12, the Bible says,
saying that we have such hope. We use great plainness of speech or boldness, in other words. And not as Moses. This is the difference, church. Not as Moses, which put a veil on his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfast look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. Oh, it was hard. It was scattered. The minds, that's the intellect and their thoughts. They couldn't go there. For until that day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in whom?
Christ.
Is Christ in you?
Yeah.
So there's no veil now anymore. Amen? That glory that was on his face was holding that veil. It doesn't have to be held back anymore. And the Bible says, yes, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon his heart. His thoughts and his feelings can't express them. Nevertheless, when it shall be turned to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is no veil. There is freedom. There is nothing will hinder. Are you with me, church? This is where we're trying to get over to you. He says, but we all, with open face, behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even with the Spirit, in the same by the Spirit of the Lord. That's the same glory that I'm talking about that's on the inside of you. We are going to be changed into that natural man, into the Spirit man, to do exactly what he told us to do. And this is what we're trying to tell you, church. It's on the inside of you. It's not in your head. It's in your spirit. The gospel that we preach, it's in your spirit. It's coming forth. Well, I don't know the words from it. Leave your intellect out of it. It's still in your spirit. The truth is found in there. The words that Christ, the words that I speak, they're spirit and they're life. The operation of God is on the inside of you. He's trying to get out. And he's going to get out. Because you're going to manifest. You're going to manifest. He's trying to change the way we think. Are you with me? He's trying to change the way we think. He's trying to say, listen to me. I went up to Mount Transfiguration. Look at me. One minute I was, the next minute, I just pure spirit. And that's what happens in our meetings. I want your mind to understand it. Oh, your natural mind, your natural eye see, the natural man. Yes. But see that there's been a shift. You ever seen a man completely drunk in the spirit? You know what I mean. You have been. Shouting victory, shouting glory, doing crazy things, but it doesn't make a difference to him because what? He's there. He's in him. He's lost in him. He's moving in him. He's being in him. He's operating in him. He's operating in him. I say he's operating in him. In the Old Testament, Moses couldn't hold it, but you can. You can hold all that God can give you. And then some. How far into God you want to go? Hallelujah. Do you know? Okay, let's go to Colossians first. Colossians chapter 1. Here it is. It says here, verse 25, 26. Let's go to 29. It says in verse 25. We're going to go there. Whereof, I'm a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. This is our job. Come on, church. Amen? And when you turn around, it's your job when you meet somebody to fulfill the word of God. Whether, no matter what it is, what is wisdom, what is healing, what is deliverance. Come on. When the word of God says it can do that, when God says I can do this by his word, that means you can do that by the word of God. Amen? This is exactly what he's saying here. He says, now, whereof I made a minister according to the disposition of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages, from the generations, but is now made manifest to the saints, to whom God made known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. That born again man. That supernatural man, that glorious man who was transfigured, that nothing is impossible against, because you know what? That man who was transfigured, he was spirit. So which means he had full control over everything that was natural. Are you with me, church? That means everything that was natural was subject to that man who was spiritual. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you with me, church? This is exactly where we have to understand. We have to break down the mysteries that he's trying to get to us, for us to understand. Christ in you, that man who was natural, went as far as showing you with your eyes and say, I can be supernatural. I can be create. I can be just spirit for you now. But I'm on the inside of you. Therefore, I can be spirit anytime you want me to be. If you turn me loose, I can be spirit. And I will have full power, full control, full authority over everything that is natural. That's the man that's on the inside of you. Come on, church. That's the man that's on the inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Many of us don't understand what we're talking about when we say Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, turn him loose. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I said, turn him loose. Yeah. If you only believe, just turn him loose. Let him glorify the Father. Let him just glorify. Let him just glorify what he's supposed to. Come on. Yeah. Are you beginning to understand something, church? That this, here it is. He breaks this down. He said, this is another mystery. He said, listen to verse 25. He said, where am I made a ministry according to this dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Now, when we say perfect, it doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes. It means you are mature. Are you with me? You are growing up. You're becoming mature in handling the Word of God. You're becoming mature in yielding to the Spirit of God. You're becoming mature in obeying the Word of God. You're becoming mature with doing what you're supposed to do. So that's fruit. So you're a fruit-bearing tree. That's a mature tree. Amen? Hallelujah. Bringing this down here a little bit. That every man be perfect in Christ, whom I labor, striving according to his workings, which worketh in me mightily. I want you to say, Christ is working in me mightily. That's right. He is. He is. He is. He's working in you mightily. He's working in you mightily. I see he's working in you mightily. Let me tell you something. 50-mile readers is not long enough. I think we're beginning to understand. 50-mile radius, it's not big enough. Huh? It's not big enough. God is doing something new. God is doing something new. God is doing something. That mature man is raising it up. He's raising that mature man up right now. That mature man, he doesn't like boldness. He does not like confidence. He's not insecure. Hallelujah. He doesn't operate in anxiety. Just a different kind of man. He's going after the expectation of God. He's going after what God says can be done in His Word, and then some.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Jesus. He's blameless. He's perfect. Yes, he's perfect. But what it means is that he has all the necessary qualities on the inside of his life. He's unspotted. All the necessary qualities that makes maturity itself. Fear is not found in him. Doubt is not found in him. Unbelief is not found in him. The way he thinks is totally different. It's like you go to him and you say, "But this is happening. He's looking at you and he says, "But I tell you what that means." It's like you go to the doctor and you're coughing and you're sneezing, you're doing that, and the doctor says, "Okay, you have this disease." So when you meet the people, hallelujah, and they're talking and they're doing this and they're doing the other thing, and all of a sudden you can tell them, "This is it." Well, how did you know? That's that level of maturity. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hey, this is not a service we can run too fast. Amen? We have to just go. So he's calling. He's calling on the way we think. He's calling on the way we... Is that epistle again? Yeah, it's that epistle again. He's trying to break it down to us so we can understand. And he's going to have his way.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen? Yes. I believe he's going to have a way. He's calling us to change the way we think. Let's change. Let's pop into the book of James, chapter 2, for a minute. In the book of James, chapter 2, I started at the 22nd verse. The Bible says, Seest thou how faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made perfect or mature. It's talking about our faith. No doubt. Amen? We don't preach doubt, do we? Come on now. So here it is. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Are you a friend of God?
Amen.
Come on now.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, I want you to say, I'm a friend of God.
I am a real good friend of God.
Okay. In verse 24, he says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Hallelujah. So which means we just can't admire what has been done. Amen. We have to do something different. Come on. We have to begin to apply ourselves to the littlest of things, to the greatest of things. Amen?
Yes.
It takes the same amount.
Yes.
Do you know salvation for a person to get born again, to a person to receive the Lord, is one of the greatest miracles that we can have?
Yes.
But we limit, the church has been limiting salvation to only getting them born again. But in salvation, the joy of your salvation is not only to a person to receive the Lord as a Lord and Savior. There in salvation is a healing. It's a peace. So the same amount of authority, the same amount of wisdom, the same amount of power for them to get born again is the same amount of power for them to receive their healing. In the same realm of salvation. In the same realm of delivering peace to them. It's the same thing you're ministering to them. Nothing new. Are you with the church? And we have to see it like that, because in that salvation, when he said, it is well with you, it's everything that could be possibly well with you should come to you. And we must be able to deliver it. So we should not create sections and parts and divisions and all of these things. We should just look at the whole scope of things as the whole scope of things that God has delivered unto us. And apply the whole thing from one place to the next place. In the fullness of it all. Amen? So, if it is receiving the Lord, receiving a healing, receiving your peace, receiving wisdom, receiving joy, whatever that is, let's apply the whole thing to that person. and let our faith work in that realm. Amen? So that God can receive that person can receive the fullness of the Spirit of God. Because there's so many walking out there only with a mental assent. Well, I said the prayer. That means to say, no, not because you said the prayer. Sometimes you can say the prayer and have nothing in your heart for God. But when you say the prayer and the peace settles in, you say the prayer and the demonic powers that have been attacking you has disappeared. When you said the prayer and the pain and the suffering is disappearing. Are you with me, church? That is the work of the salvation of God. Your faith must go there too. This is what we're saying to you, church. That man that was natural, you are being transformed into that man that is supernatural. Because God is reaching into that natural man and pulling out and turning things around and showing the outside to the world. And showing the inside of that man as the outside to the world. That's what the world needs now. That's what the world needs now. Our young people are lost. To try to call them the X generation because they don't know anything. They do know something. That Woodstock generation, they're rulers now. You know that? You forgot? Remember the Woodstock generation? Oh. Forgot about them? Anybody know what Woodstock was? I know I'm dating myself. But I remember Woodstock. I remember those. You know what that generation say? Anything goes. You know where that spirit came from? You see how far it's gone? Anything goes. Not in Christ Jesus. Not in Christ Jesus. So something has to be done, church. God is calling us to make a change. He's calling us. Let's look at Galatians for a minute. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 13. Bible says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. I want you to say, Christ has redeemed me. From the curse of the law.
From the curse of the law.
That's right. Being made a curse for us, it is written, curses and every man will hang on a tree. 14. That the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Oh, come on, church. Are you Spirit-filled? He blew on them. He said, receive the Holy Ghost. Whatever you remit, it is remitted. Amen? Yeah. Whatever you retain, it is retained. Come on, church. That's power. Yeah. And this is what he says now, that the promise will come upon you. He said the promise through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannul it or add it thereto. Isn't that what he says? You can't change it. It's over. It can be changed. That's it. Now, with all this stuff going on here, nothing's going to change until we do something about it. Amen? The gospel, our lives, our families, our finances, sickness, disease, insufficiency, lack, whatever you want to call it, mental illness. Because even the natural law says if something is in motion, it will continue to be in motion until something stops it. Amen? Or if something is at rest, it will remain at rest until something comes and changes. Isn't that what it says? Yeah. So here we are now. Let's take a look now. If whatever is going on will continue to go on, will continue to go on until something brings a change upon that thing. That's where you step in. I said that's where you step in. That's what Jesus was talking about. He says, listen, the gospel, the good news is, go tell the poor man he doesn't have to be poor anymore. Hallelujah. Go take the sick man, he doesn't have to be sick anymore. He's healed. Amen. Go take the blind man, he can see, his eyes can be opened. The deaf ears can be opened. Are you with me, church? This is where we call to. We call to that place that we can tell the poor man, listen, you don't have to be poor anymore. Because what? There is something that can cause that poor man not to be poor. That today he's poor, but tomorrow he doesn't have to be poor. The blind man, he's sick today, but tomorrow he doesn't have to be sick. Because there is something that can come and bring a change into that man's life and cause him no more to be a rich man tomorrow, or to be a man who can see tomorrow, or to see the deaf ears can open tomorrow. Come on, church. That's you. You are the one that intercepts them on the way to that place. Come on, church. You are the one that intercepts them when they're going in the poverty, they're going in the blindness, they're going in the sickness, they're going in the disease, they're going in the insufficiency, they're going with mental disease. You are the one who stops them and says, listen, no more, no more, no more. You are the one. That's you. That's you. That's you. That's you. Hallelujah. I said, that's you. That's the good news. And you're the good news. If not, whatever emotion will continue to be emotion, continue to be emotion until somebody says, stop in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Cast the devil out in the name of Jesus. Remove their sin in the name of Jesus. Forgive their sins in the name of Jesus. Are you with me, church? That's your duty.
Hallelujah.
Come on, church. That's your duty. That's your duty. Because you know something? When the doors, when the line starts forming out there, you see the line starts forming out there. When the line starts forming out there, pastor doesn't have to be here. Maybe you might just need him for one service. The main service of all the difficult cases. You can handle the rest. Because what? There's a spirit. There's a people here who know the Spirit of God. I can see it here. There's a people here who know the Spirit of God. And the people will be saying, there's a church over there. They know the sound of the Spirit. They know the voice of God. They know the Spirit of God. There is a people over there. You need to go there. I don't know the name of the church, but it's right over there. And you need to go there. And you will hear what God has to say. And you will be healed.
Hallelujah.
That's you. They will say, listen, in Florida, let me tell you something. There's a people. There's a church there. There's a man named Mockley there. He knows the voice of God. He knows the Spirit of God. I don't know the name of the place, but it's in Mockley. There's only one church like that. Just go to Mockley. They will tell you where to go. I think you understand what I'm talking about. That's what I told you the other day. Get cameras in this place. Start capturing this, what God's doing. I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God.
Thank
I'm just telling
Lord.
You. Get the cameras, capture it. Make a few, mail it here, mail it there, put it on the internet. Doesn't matter. They'll start driving, start coming. And when they come, you know what they're coming with? Burdens, overwhelm, pain. Mental problem, suicide, adultery, fornication, drugs, homosexuality. Oh, they'll come. Say, I can't take this lifestyle anymore. I can't take it anymore. Pastor, I can't take it anymore. Some of them will grab you in the corner and say, listen, I want to talk to you. I can't go up there because I'm ashamed to go up there. He said, no problem. Let's go in the back. Cast that devil out in Jesus' name. I want you to see what I'm trying to tell you. Christ in you. The man showed Peter, James, and John. He showed them. That means he showed you and I. The glory. The shifting. What he's talking about here. The mysteries. He showed you. It's in there. He showed you how that you can be changed from that natural man into that spirit man. That new man. I never understood it until the Lord showed me that day when those assistants, or you want to call them angels, whatever it was, came down in that elevator in that vision. And I said, but listen, I got mud on my boots and my jeans are dirty. Can I go change my shoes? They just look at me. They didn't say a word. I said, okay, let's go. Because I was thinking different. It took me months for him to show me What he was trying to say is, listen, son, the old man has to leave. Because this is the man that I want to work with. This spirit man. And then the fullness of it. And then he showed me Moses. Moses couldn't. You can. I said, you can. That's why we've been confessing. I can do what God says I can do. Amen? I have what God says I have. I am what God says I am. I'm a winner. I'm not a loser. I can do what God says I can do. That's right. That's right. Some people say they're weak, but God says, I am strong. You understand that? Hallelujah. Our foundation, we can't forget this. We must know what Jesus Christ has done for us, what He's done for you. We must know who you are in Christ Jesus. He made it impossible for you to fail. He made you the head and not the tail. He made you to lend and not borrow. Are you with me? He blessed you coming in and going out. That's your portion. That's your cup. When you have an issue, He spread a table before you while you sit down and dine, and your enemies are watching you. And then He anoints you on top of it. He said, now go and get the job done. That's what that table is for you and Him to have a meeting on how to solve the problem. Must know what is the action that you must take when these things show up, so that you can know how to enjoy what He's giving you to enjoy. If there's anything we learn tonight, he's after that new man. You know, that's what the epistle we've been preaching. We don't talk about this man much, because he never dealt with the problems as much as it is. He dealt with the answers to the problems. Amen? And I want to tell you something. There are many people in your life, their action is keep going and keep going and keep going. There's got to be a time. You got to stop it. Let me tell you something. Was it 2 Sundays ago that girl came, dropped her children off at church, and said she has 2 kids, right? She got 2 kids. She came to church, she dropped them off. She took off. So one after, where are you going? She said, I'm going to commit suicide. And she took off. She dropped them off at the church. And she left. So I'm up there and they came and told me. I said, okay, no problem. I started to laugh because it's funny. The devil's so stupid. So I said, church, why don't you stand to your feet? They stoop to their feet. I said, this is what we heard. She dropped them off. She took off. She said, she's going to commit suicide. I said, we know what we're going to do right now. Hallelujah. Christ is going to be glorified. I said, now stand to your feet. I said, this is her name. They call her name out. So we begin to pray. And we prayed. We said, now, Lord Jesus, it's over. It's over. It's over. We pray for her. Call him back. Broke that power of suicide off her. And you know what? While I was preaching, guess who came to church? She came in church. She came back to church. Let me tell you something. Your church is the 11th hour church. Last minute. Last hour. Are you with me? You have that spirit on you. You know what the 11th hour means? It means the last stop. This is where they get it. The 11th hour. Last stop. There's none other. Nowhere else. Let's see yourself as the 11th hour. Oh, we see ourselves as the 11th hour church. Last stop. When you come there, you're going to get it before you leave. Because we're going to pray until something happens. And that's you. Are you with me, church? That's why I love you guys, because I know you're not going to change. You're not going to quit on Christ, are you?
No.
All right. And that's what's happening, church. This impartation that happened this week, I want you to know something. It's your epistle. You are epistle, but you the epistle.
Yes.
So it's not only for preaching, but your lifestyle is your preaching.
Yes.
You say, but I don't get up and preach from the pulpit. I'm preaching at the store corners. No, but your lifestyle is the preaching. Your lifestyle is the gospel. Are you with me? And what you do with the people in the corners, in their homes, in the streets, on the way, coming and going, grabbing them in the place and praying for them. You talking down the street by yourself, to yourself, making melodies in your heart, giving God the glory. And that presence is following you. So when you get where you're going, things change. Are you with me, church? It's violent. All I can tell you is violent. It's violent. But God doesn't have any pastor said no sissies. Isn't that so? It's violent. But the violent take it, don't they? Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Zechariah 4:6, he says, not by might. Right? Not by power, but by my
Spirit.
I think he wants to take us somewhere. Huh?
Yes.
I think he wants to take us somewhere. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, it says, after that you receive, and the Holy Ghost falls on you, what are you going to get? You're going to receive it, right?
Yes.
But I checked that thing out. In the original, it says, you take. I know King James says you receive. The little passive. You're sitting there waiting for it. No. You take power. Are you with me? After that, the Holy Ghost fall upon you. You do what? You take power. The violent do what? Take it by force. Are you with me, church? So you take the thing. You take it. You take it off them. You take the power. You take the power that God has given to you. And you operate in the power that God has given. And you release the power that God has given to you. Are you with me, church? And you manifest in the power of the Holy Ghost. You take the power. Don't wait for the power. Don't wait. God is waiting on you to manifest. The world is waiting for you to manifest. The world is waiting for you to show the glory of God. So you take the power, church. Well, I've never done that before. It doesn't make a difference. There's got to be a first time, and it better be with you.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Well, I never prayed for somebody whose eyes were blind before. It doesn't matter. Pray for them. You will see the eyes open.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. The person of death, it who cares? I mean, one day I was in church. The woman was in the back row. She said, I said, there's a deaf person. She won't come up. She won't, because the ear was deaf. I didn't know. So we pray for her, and the tears running down from her eyes. She's standing in the back there. She's weeping and crying. And I, what happened? The woman come and tell me, Nina Lee comes. That woman was deaf, and her ears are open. I said, oh, my God. I didn't know. I said, it's really, the ear, somebody's ear. And I didn't even know, because she couldn't hear me. That's what I'm trying to say to you, church. If the Holy Ghost moved by His Spirit, release the church. Don't try to figure it out. Amen? Because He's going to operate like that. I say He wants to pull a thing out of you. He wants to pull you into this side. He wants to pull it out of you, church. That's my message to you today by the Spirit of God. How many of you would let Him do this thing, church? How many of you would let Him do this thing, church? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says we're ambassadors, aren't we? We're ambassadors. That means to say we have a home. We have a homeland, yeah? We receive our supply from home, from our country. If you're an ambassador, it means you're in a foreign land. We're born from above. We're in a foreign land. The earth is not our home. We're just passing through. Amen? We're citizens of heaven. That means in the earth here, we are ambassadors from that place. That means to say now, when we need something, the supply comes from home. Are you with me? We need instruction. The supply of instruction comes from home. You need protection. The supply of the protection, what? Comes from home. Are you with me, church?
Yes.
That's why in the old days, you know what the people do? When there was a trouble with them, they ran to the church. Because the church was not part of the nation. It was God land. Amen? And you couldn't go to the church and arrest them. It's still the law. But people don't know it. Because this is an embassy. Oh, come on. The church is an embassy. It's an embassy. It operates under different rules, different laws, different operations. It's an embassy. It's Holy Land. You got Homeland Security here. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. You got security here. This is an embassy of God in the earth. If you treat God that He has an embassy, He would treat you like an ambassador. Your deliverance is sure with God. But you are our epistle. Read of men. Let me tell you something. Don't be weak. Be faithful. I said, don't be weak. Be faithful. Be strong. Be strong. If it crosses your spirit, do it. Are you with me? If it goes whew, through your spirit, do it. If He's pacing you, follow Him. Are you with me? Because He's going to do new things in your life. Many promotions are going to happen in your life. Many. Listen, church, do it. I can't encourage you to do it. The testimonies will encourage you, will make you mature when you begin to hear the testimony. Are you listening to me? The testimonies will make you mature. And if God put in your heart to go to a nation or go out, go out. Come to tell you, Pastor, listen, God says, this is what I should do. One came to me and said, God says, I didn't believe that one. I said, who told you? Who spoke to you? The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Huh? I know, right? God didn't tell him. Who spoke to you? Was it the Father? Was it the Son? Was it the Holy Ghost? It was God. I said, yeah. Who spoke? We're mature enough to know who's speaking. Are you with me? So don't come and tell me God says. I said, Who spoke to you? If you know that you receive instruction, you will know who spoke to you. Amen? I said, if you know you received the instruction, you will know who spoke to you. And God would put a witness in my spirit just because I'm the under-shepherd in the house. Jesus is the shepherd. So, how will you think that Jesus would run His business in the house and not tell the under-shepherd what He's doing over there? Come on now. And then you come and tell me, God, say, I said, God who? Who told you? Who? Was it the Father? Was it the Son? Was it the Holy Spirit? I'm not, but at least just tell me so I can go and say, Lord, explain this to me and give me what I need to know so I can impart. Or send them off. So they never came back. Because they didn't know who was speaking. Hallelujah. I'm not saying God can't speak to you. That's not what I'm saying, church. But if you want me to send you out, want me to bless you, come. God is speaking to me about this. I say, okay. That's wonderful. And let's pray. Let's believe God for you. And my wife can tell you, we sent some out. Let them go. They go out. They come back. See the trophy? See this? See that? Go. Go. Don't sit here. Go. Get out. Keep going. Because each time they come back different. Each time they come back, you can trust them. Each time they come, they die a little bit more. The gospel lives greater in their lives. Are you with me? That's why I said go. Even the conferences. Go. Because when you come back, you're a little more faithful. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It's time to take a church. It's time to take power. It's time to be transformed. I don't like that word transformed, but transfigured. I like it better. It's time to be transfigured into that spirit man that you call to be. That's the man that He works with. That's the man that He imparts His information, His wisdom to. That's the man that delivers. Amen? Like He was saying, He was talking about this man. He says, you know, He didn't come and sit on the couch. I said, let me get all this thing from you. No. That demoniac was just made whole. Simple. Amen? So you understand the Spirit of Christ. You understand the Spirit of Christ.
Yes.
The answer is there for you.
Yes.
We need to watch our confessions. If not, it would oppose what God is doing. It would oppose the power that He has delivered unto us. His heart would drop. It's like, oh Lord. Oh Lord. And I know what it feels like, because I'll share this with you, and then we see something what God wants to do. One time, it's like I slipped into it was a prayer time. I slipped into the Spirit. And I was standing before a guy. It's like he was sitting on something like a little wheel that he could roll on. But he was a shoe shine boy. So I stood there and I put my foot and he shined my shoes, cleaned my shoes, and everything. It was time to pay him, and I put my hand in my pocket. I didn't have any money. I said, "Oh." Any money, and I had an ATM card, and I said, "You know, I don't have any money, but just hold on for me. I'm going to run down the road down to the ATM machine. Are you listening to me?" And when I turned to go to the ATM machine, I came out of the Spirit, and I began to grieve. It began to grieve me so hard, because right at that time, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, "Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, give I." Do you know I could have said that in the realm of the Spirit? And that boy would have gotten up. Come on, church. Are you understanding the level of teaching he's trying to bring to us? And that was years ago. I said, "My God," all I had to say, "You know what? I don't have any money, but I've got something that I can give you." Come on, church. I got something that I can give you that you need. Are you ready to take it? Are you willing to take it now? And that's all I could have done. And I said, "Lord, let this never, never, ever happen to me in my life again. Never. How come did I miss this opportunity? How could I miss this?" But you see how we think? Are you with me? We always look for the way the world solves the problem. And not the way. And not the way. And not the way He is showing us how the problems are solved. And that's why we must know what is in the contract. We must know what is in the covenant. We must know what He's going to back up. Amen? What do you think if I had said that? Don't you think He was going to back it up? Yes, He was going to back it up. Because when I came out, I began to weep. I was feeling so bad. Because, oh my God, you tested me and I failed you. That's how I was feeling. That's why I know now He wants to transfer us here. Because over here, we're not in our minds. Amen?
Yeah.
We're in the Spirit. That's all I've been trying to get across to you. It's been taking a little while to get across to you. It's not easy to get across to people. You know that? But the end of the end is easy. You know? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, come on, church. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve, Lord Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. Yes, Lord. Why don't we just worship God, Pastor? Why don't we just worship God a little bit or something?